Some scholars say that the Bible's record of Christ's teachings is mostly an embellished myth from the imaginations of men. Let's take a break from the race of life and focus on this. If what Jesus said can't be trusted, your soul is in eternal jeopardy. So-called scholars aside, today we'll learn that the accuracy of the written scriptures is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on rumors about Jesus. We're getting truth from 2 Peter chapter 1, debunking the Jesus of the seminar, and learning where the Bible's writings really came from.
And then he says, for prophecy, verse 20, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of the scriptures came about by the prophet's own interpretation. It doesn't mean that we can't read the Bible on our own. What it means is that these prophecies did not come about and originate with the prophet himself. This is explained in verse 21. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along, borne along by the Holy Spirit. Pheromenoi is the Greek word. It's like a log that is being carried along by a river. They were borne along by the Holy Spirit when they wrote the scriptures. How different today, where you have all of these false prophets on television. Oh, you know, the Lord just showed me something. Oh, guess what Jesus said to me the other day? And then out of their mouths comes things that may be decent, may be good, oftentimes just plain foolish and silly. I've told you the story before, but I'll tell it to you again about the man who wrote to me and said, I can't believe you believe this. And then he quoted me and said that I had said it on the radio, and I knew I hadn't said it, and I checked it, and indeed I hadn't said it. But here's the point. He had taken something that I said and then added this together and put two things together and misquoted me. But if I, as a fallible human being, do not like it when people put words into my mouth, think of how serious it is to put words into the mouth of Almighty God. And it's being done all the time. Listen, when the prophets spoke, they were moved, they were guided. They could use their own styles in writing. But God was there to superintend and to guide them so that what we would have is a sure word that shines like a sunlight in a very, very dark world. They were moved by the Holy Spirit, were these prophets. Now, what do we make of all this? Two very important implications. Peter says, we saw the Son, we heard the Father, we confirmed the work of the Spirit in the inspiration of Scripture. The whole Trinity was involved here in confirming what we actually saw and what we came to believe. A couple of comments. First, the accounts of the New Testament should be accepted as they stand. We have credible evidence, and there's so many other ways that I couldn't possibly explain to you today, but could in a classroom where we get more technical, as to why we have every good reason to believe that the Bible that we hold in our hands is a reliable book that guides us to God. Now, I have to tell you about religiously liberal people. They really don't know what in the world to do with Easter, which we call here Resurrection Sunday. They have no clue as to what to do with Easter or Christmas. These festivals and times of year bug them. Why? Because for one full year, they can talk about little moralizing ideas. And I've read some of them, and they're almost humorous. But they can talk about, you know, all the goodness of human nature and all these other sweet things. Oh, but when Easter comes, you have to preach on the resurrection. And what do you say about it if you don't believe it? You have to come up with something. Los Angeles, a few years ago, where the pastor always put his sermon topic on the marquee. The marquee was, Easter is a time for flowers. Wow. I feel blessed already, folks. What do you do with these stories? Last Christmas, a well-known minister here in Chicago said, and I'm paraphrasing, I tried to find the quote but couldn't, but this is a rather accurate paraphrase. Now when it comes to camels and stars and angels, do we believe these records? The question was asked. Well, that's not the important thing as to whether or not they happen. What really matters is the spirit of Christmas. Which is about like saying in Alice in Wonderland, you know, it really doesn't matter whether or not the Cheshire Cat existed. What really matters is its smile. That's the important thing. The smile of the Cheshire Cat. Listen to me. If we can't believe angels and stars and wise men, if we can't believe that, then there's really no compelling reason to believe the cross and to believe the resurrection, and we are, of all men and women, most miserable. It all hangs together. You can't pick and choose. If Jesus wasn't laid in a manger, like the New Testament says, how do we know that he was nailed to a cross? So that's the first point. The accounts of the New Testament have to stand and be accepted as they stand because they're credible eyewitness accounts. There's a second point, and that is we disbelieve to our own destruction. We disbelieve to our own destruction. Now, all of you have Bibles, of course. Thank God that everybody who comes to Moody Church brings a Bible. Let me change that and make it a little bit more accurate. Everyone who comes to Moody Church should bring a Bible, all right? But look at what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. He's talking about the day of the Lord, and it is almost chilling, where everything is going to be destroyed, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Wow. Verse 13 of chapter 3, "But in keeping with the promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom of God." Verse 16, referring to the writings of Paul, which at this early date were already accepted as scripture, by the way. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things which are hard to understand. Anyone who's lectured on the book of Romans will agree. There's some things that Paul wrote that are difficult to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. People take what Paul wrote and they distort it. They take verses out of context. They tell you that there are so many different interpretations that nobody knows what is going on. They try to confuse the issues, and they do that. But Peter says they do it to their own destruction, because if you do not believe what Jesus had to say, and if you do not believe the gospel, you are not saved and won't be unless you believe. So they distort it. I like the King James here. It says, twist it to their own destruction. If you want to know what God thinks about false teachers, read the book of Jude or just the second chapter of Peter, which we don't have time to read. Just take that home and say, you know, I often wondered what God thinks of the Jesus seminar. Well, here it is. There is a story about a religiously liberal minister who would go into great detail explaining to his congregation what was myth and fable in the New Testament. He would go along and say, now we know that Jesus couldn't have said this, this miracle couldn't have happened, etc., etc., trying to still nonetheless, as these folks do, God bless them, trying to draw out some really important lessons even though it didn't happen. And A few years after his arrival in the church, there was a man in his congregation dying with a terminal disease. So the minister went over and visited him and said, "I'm sure that you probably want me to read some scripture and pray." And the man said, "Yes." He said, "Here's my New Testament," the dying man said, and the minister took it and noticed that there were verses cut out here and there, noticed that there were even some chapters missing, and said, "You know, don't you have a better Bible than this?" And the dying man said, "Before you came, I believed every word of the New Testament." He said, "Whenever you would say, 'Now you can't trust this, this is fable,'" he said, "I would go home and cut out all those passages that you said weren't true." And he said, "You know, if I had stayed in your church a little while longer, I might have ended up with just two covers." What a tragedy to die and to not have a sure word that shines as a light in a dark place. What a tragedy to die with two empty covers because you do not believe that Jesus is the only qualified Son of God, who was on the Mount of Transfiguration, who is crucified for our sins, who is resurrected to the glory of God, and who is coming someday in glory and in great power. What a tragedy to have to die with absolutely nothing certain to hang on to go out into the night of eternity. Some of you are visiting, you're saying, "You know, we always wonder what in the world Moody Church believes." Well, I want you to know that we believe this stuff, okay? Because upon it and Jesus, our eternity rests. But it's a good foundation. We have a sure word. My dear friend, today, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that sure word that I've been preaching about turns out to be energized and confirmed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says that those who trust Christ have a witness within themselves. This is Pastor Lutzer encouraging you, admonishing you. Don't go on in life unless you have that assurance. It's not simply that we believe the New Testament, even though we do, and it is the basis for what we believe, the New and the Old Testament. It is also because we have come to know Christ personally. We're able to experience a relationship with Him. Our sins are forgiven. Our relationship with God is clear, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is there to give us hope and to remind us that we are God's children. And thanks be, we can be His children forever.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding the Jesus of the Seminar, the first message in his series on rumors about Jesus. Tomorrow, don't miss The Da Vinci Deception, credible answers to the questions millions continue to ask about Jesus and the Da Vinci Code. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Rumors about Jesus can be yours as a 5-message CD series sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.